Welcome to another edition of Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, your host, a product manager in Windows Phone division here at Microsoft. Today we're talking to Carlo Rivera.
Hi.
Carlo, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So I'm a developer in Office. So I work here at Microsoft. In my spare time, I started to play around with making apps. Microsoft gave us a nice moonlighting policy. And
so you write software. I mean, you're a software developer. You're writing the Office applications all day long, and
That's
then you
true.
Go home, and then you decided in your free time to write for Windows Phone.
Yeah, I really like the phone apps because it gives me an opportunity to come up with an idea and in a few hours actually create it and start to use it.
You were telling me one of the first talks you gave was about writing an app in 30 minutes.
Yeah, so the reason I actually gave that talk, a lot of my coworkers were saying, how do you have time to make an app? I see all these people I work with that have the skills to do it, but they're not creating apps. So
right.
Asking them why, and they think, oh, I don't have enough time. So I viewed that as an opportunity to give a talk that was called Create and Submit an App in 30 Minutes. So I got in front of all the groups of developers in ZapFest and created an app in front of them that called up to a web server and did a newsreader. And then we got all the way to the point where we were about to submit, but I didn't hit the submit on the app.
Sure. But then you did absolutely, you actually did submit that one, or was that one of the ones you
no,
did?
No, eventually I didn't submit that one, but I have something very similar. It's called Connected Golfers.
Okay.
And that's just a piece of what that app does.
Right. So you have, you said 25 apps?
Yeah, 25. I have a bunch of little free ones, and you know the golf app goes for $9.99. So there's a wide range of apps there.
Cool. So one of the main reasons that we wanted to talk to you though is because you were telling us about you gave another talk about advertising strategies using different ad controls.
Yeah. So this talk, which we'll link to, was called Making Money with Free Apps.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone wants to make money when they're making their app, but a lot of people aren't thinking to go free.
Right.
And what I found sort of with seeing what my friend's usage was and what mine was, I typically like the free ones over the paid ones. So I had some apps that were really small, and obviously I didn't think people were going to spend a lot of money on them, so I gave ads out a try and realized, wow, this is actually doing better than my paid apps.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get the word out there and talk to people about how to make free apps.
And it's pretty simple now. I know that we include the Microsoft ad control in the box with the Windows Phone 7.5 SDK.
Yeah, so it's really easy to use. You just put the control on your page, you get some IDs that you mm-hmm. get off of their web page, and within minutes it's sending ads down to the app.
But you found out a way to even go further than that, right? I mean,
yeah. So what I found was sometimes the you get paid in the Windows Phone on advertisement through what's called ECPM, which is the dollar amount you get for 1,000 views.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes this was high, and then other times it was really low. So it fluctuates, and that's sort of a painful part of the free apps. Is one day you're very happy because you're making lots of money, and then the next day you're not.
It's all based on where someone's viewing your app from, or
where they're viewing it, and what the publishers are paying to put ads in apps. So
got it, because it all ties up with the people buying the ads.
Yeah, so if Target has a big ad campaign, they're paying money, and then if they disappear, then it's sort of the supply and demand, it fluctuates. So what I found is when it went down, I wanted to try some of the competitors. So I was using Microsoft's Pub Center, and I was curious to see how Google's AdMob pays. So the problem that I had with that is I had to update the app, so change some code in the app, resubmit, wait a couple of days, and then require all my users to
Download. Use their SDK, right?
Yeah, it's a different SDK, so my users then had to upgrade and really saw no difference in the app besides the different ad at the bottom.
But you were getting paid more.
Yeah, so it wasn't really a great experience for my users, so I was thinking, well, how could I make this better? How can I switch it on the fly on my server without requiring users to update their apps over and over? So the way I did that is I created my own ad control that encapsulates both of the ads.
So both their controls are inside your ad control.
Yeah, so I sort of have that surrounding one. And when the app starts up, it calls up to my server and says, which app should I use, or which ad should I use in the app? And sometimes Microsoft's paying higher, and I tell the apps to use Microsoft solution. If Google's paying higher, I tell them to use Google solution.
So you wrote a server application that actually does all the back-end control here.
Yeah, and it just sends the data down to the apps, and they know what to use.
That's pretty cool. Can you give us any idea about how much more you started to see, I mean, as a result of that?
So I typically found, actually, that Microsoft was paying a little higher on average.
Okay.
But the very interesting thing I found out when I was using Google's is with their reporting, they showed some data about fill rate,
okay,
which Microsoft wasn't showing me, and I didn't understand the whole platform as much. So sometimes your app starts up and it requests an ad, and a PubCenter or a Google service says there's no ad to show. Mm-hmm. And that could be in a different country or just because low demand, so there's just an empty space in your ad or in your app. So what I said during that time, instead of having a blank space there, I'll advertise my other apps.
Mm.
So the server will send down information about which kind of ads I want to show in my app. So I can advertise my website, or I can advertise my latest app and sort of drive traffic to those things that I choose.
That's really clever. So then you actually are taking advantage of the fact that there's nothing there. And you get that from the Google service, but that our service doesn't provide that yet? Or
It was just some stuff that was in the advanced reporting that I just wasn't paying attention to. And finding that out sort of caused me to think, oh, well, how do I incorporate that into my thing? And I found that as a huge advantage to me. One of the common questions developers ask me is, hey, how do I get my new app noticed? There's 50,000 some apps. Like, how do I get noticed?
Yeah, we're getting up there. Actually, we're over 60 now.
Wow.
And we're on track for 70 very quick here.
That's great.
Now we're starting to see this problem that there's so many. It's no longer an empty field.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different apps there. And we do some things to try to help here. We have a program that we merchandise where we actually showcase certain apps that they leverage certain sorts of functionality. And mm-hmm. when you go into the Marketplace client application, you'll see, you know, a list of top apps, and then you'll see some apps that we're featuring.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't get featured, and we'll actually talk about that later. We have a session for the show in a few weeks where we'll talk about how we feature apps and what we pick there.
Right.
But if you're a developer and you don't, you know, you're not being featured, not everyone can be featured, you know, what else can you do to market your app to actually make it more visible?
Yeah. So one of the main things that I was doing was I had one very popular app. It's the Guns app. And
mm-hmm. What does that do?
It's a fun app for people to play around with. You shake your phone and it fires bullets. And
okay.
There's stats about guns. And
everybody likes a gun.
Yeah, I realize America loves their guns.
That's
so
right.
That one's very popular, so I'll use that ad space in there to advertise my other apps to get them noticed.
And do you actually track the traffic that's coming from that?
I found that it has a pretty high click-through rate, which is, you know, people see that and they click on it. And I try to match up the target for one app to the other. So I have a free Guns app and I had a paid Guns Pro app. So I
advertise. Guns Pro. What does the Pro get you?
It's sort of the same exact thing, but, you know, it's one you pay for.
No ad, maybe?
With no ad.
Okay.
And that's another thing I do a lot of. So if I do have a free app, I noticed some people were saying, this is a great app, I use it all the time, I wish there wasn't ads. So now I have a button that says remove ads, and then they could buy it for a dollar.
Oh, that's great.
The way to upsell people.
So what you've done, I mean, you've actually taken the next step beyond, you know, we give people the tools to create very, very simple apps themselves, and mm-hmm. even use services like the ad service themselves, but you've gone ahead and you've written your own service.
Yeah.
To be an intermediate, and you've written your own intermediate control too to host all the subordinate controls.
Yeah.
Because this gives you the ability to drive up higher revenue when you're looking at how this different services are performing in the different markets and so forth. That's pretty clever. It reminds me of a lot of the things we were talking to Jeff Wilcox a couple months ago about some of the things he's done in his app. He's gone so far to actually build in upgrade checking directly in his own app.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of work to drive ratings as well, is another thing where you can actually say rate this app periodically if people notice people use your app.
Yeah, I follow Jeff Wilcox. He has a lot of great tips.
I know.
And I use a very similar thing that he does on getting people to review your apps, and I went from a 3-star to a 5-star rating in like a week using that method.
I know. Jeff's a developer on the actual phone team, right now. So, cool. Well, why don't you, before we go, we're just about out of time, but why don't you tell us about some of your favorite apps on the phone? What do you like to use on the phone?
So, being a golfer, I use my Connected Golfers app a lot.
Okay. So you really wrote the app for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, really, I tell people to do that, too, because
if there's something you want that you don't see, it's that easy to go write an app.
Exactly, and I was writing that before the phone came out, so that was a good one for me. I also have some other popular ones, a Drudge Report Reader, which is a website, and it formats that data really nice.
Okay.
And my latest one I was working on was called Trending Now. So it goes out to Twitter, finds all the latest topics that people are talking about on Twitter.
The top trending.
And then you can read what people are saying about it. So using this app the other day, we realized Whitney Houston died, way faster than anything else because Twitter is just so fast in updating their trends.
Those kids on the Twitters, man, I can't keep up with that stuff. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I really appreciate to hear your story, and we hope that you enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Larry Lieberman for Inside Windows Phone. Thank you very much.